Our present and closing meditation of the retreat is on the last article of the Apostles' Creed, I believe in life everlasting. Amen. We may be surprised, but really, there are two articles of faith expressed in this profession of believing in life everlasting. It is not that eternal life will begin. No, we are now living that life everlasting. In other words, having received the sacrament of baptism, as a consequence, the supernatural life in our souls, which the Church identifies as sanctifying grace, is a soul of the soul, even as our soul is a principle of the natural life for the body. So the sanctifying grace we received at baptism is a principle of the supernatural life of the soul. It is this life that we profess to believe is eternal in the closing article of the Apostles' Creed. We do not, in any intelligible sense, speak of believing that our souls are eternal or everlasting. That is not an article of faith. That is a conclusion of human reason. Already the ancient Greek philosophers, Socrates, Aristotle, Plato, they believed or concluded to the fact that the principle of life of every human being is eternal. The object of our faith here is that the soul already at baptism has received a share in God's own life. And it is that life that will continue for all eternity. In other words, we believe both that we are now living this supernatural life that will never end. And then, once our souls are reunited with the bodies, then, not only will the souls please God, enjoy the vision of God, but the bodies will share in the happiness which the soul possesses from seeing God. What then do we believe? We believe that being in the state of grace, we are living to repeat, and we have to keep repeating, the supernatural life, superhuman life. We are living as far as we can without being divine. We are living the divine life. In the Church's vocabulary, the term she uses is deiform life, a life like God. Our souls, therefore, are already alive with this life of God in possessing the grace of God. We believe the Holy Trinity dwells within our souls. We believe that we already now know and love God in a way that no one else, except those who possess this divine life, experience. We believe that our task here on earth is to remain supernaturally alive. Let me repeat, because that, in one sentence, is the purpose of our existence. That our task and responsibility here on earth is to remain supernaturally alive so that when our body dies, our souls will be alive with His life, which then, provided when our body dies naturally, our soul is supernaturally alive, then we shall continue living supernaturally for all eternity. But notice, the eternal, natural life of our souls, let me repeat, the eternal, natural life of our souls is not conditional. We are naturally immortal. The only question, and surely a big one, is whether, when our bodies die, our souls will be alive with the grace of God. Because then, these naturally immortal souls will enjoy the vision of God. Otherwise, the souls will continue living. But, so our faith tells us, in everlasting pain. Moreover, we believe that if we are in this way supernaturally alive when our body dies, we shall enjoy God for all eternity. And the key verb is enjoy God. This means that we shall know God not through creatures as we do now. Not even, that's our faith, not even as here on earth. All our knowledge, in the strictest sense of the word, is about God. We have to use, obviously, our reason. We have to have thoughts on our minds. And then we casually and for ordinary purposes correctly say, we know God. Well, we know God through the creatures that we experience. But even inside of our own minds, we have to have thoughts about God. Not so in that everlasting life for which we were made. We will see Him directly, immediately, intuitively. And then the corresponding love of God follows. In other words, we shall love God with an intimacy that has no human counterpart. In heaven, besides knowing God face to face, besides loving God intimately, we shall also enjoy the company of creatures. Like whom? Like the angels. Like whom? Like the company of those people whom we have known and loved on earth. When then we speak about believing in everlasting life, remember, We are human beings with a mind and a will. The mind will continue knowing. The will will continue loving. And not only God, but also, and with resounding emphasis, creatures. Moreover, as we saw in our previous meditation, after the last day, he will experience happiness, not only in our souls, but also in our bodies. And the essence of happiness is a satisfaction of desire. We therefore, so we believe, after the last day, we'll enjoy God, not only in our souls, but enjoy Him in our bodies. Moreover, the God that we shall enjoy for all eternity is the God who Himself became man, so that we will both enjoy Him with our soul and body, and will enjoy God both as the God who became incarnate and as the man who was assumed by the second person of the Holy Trinity. In other words, to summarize, our destiny, professed in the closing article of the Creed, is that our desires, all our desires, will be perfectly satisfied. Our desire for love, the deepest single underlying desire of every human being. And when we say for love, we mean for love in both ways. The deepest desire we have as human beings is to be loved. And the corresponding desire to love. And in heaven, this desire will be perfectly satisfied. Why? Because the one whom we shall love is the God for whom we were made. And the one who will love us is the God who made us. And made us in order to share with us as much as God can everything that He has insofar as it is possible without our becoming divine. Secondly, in heaven, our desire will be perfectly satisfied for recognition, for honor, for acceptance. We all want this. We need it. In heaven, our desire will be satisfied for knowledge. And the knowledge that we should experience in heaven, listen, will be conditioned on the use of our minds here on earth. The reason we are to know God here by faith is to know Him in vision in the world to come. And the depth, degree, intensity of our knowledge of God in heaven, listen, will be conditioned by the effort we have made on earth to know God by faith. In heaven, our deepest desire for friendship will be satisfied. Friendship is selfless mutual love. And friendship, not only with God, but friendship with others. If there is one thing that weakens, stands, even the deepest human friendship here on earth, it is that the one we love, Bill, has a human nature. That human nature is naturally, spontaneously, given to envy. In heaven, the friendship will be so complete that our mutual love, others loving us, we loving them, will not be tainted by the least spark of envy. Indeed, we shall be more happy, or made more happy, by seeing that others in heaven. Sounds like a contradiction. We'll have or possess what we do not have. Others will have, because no two people in heaven will possess equally the beatific vision. So far from being saddened, or the friendship being weakened by someone having more than I have, on earth, how will I know the deepest, most selfless friendship is always, always endangered by envy. The main reason, hear it, after 45 years in the priesthood, the main reason for broken families, broken marriages, broken homes is envy. No more of that in heaven. The more other people possess in heaven, the more happy we will be to see them having what we, in terrestrial language, call what we lack. Finally, in heaven, our desire will be perfectly satisfied for security. No matter how happy we are here on earth, no matter what we have, including, let's hear it, the grace of God, are we infallibly sure that the grace that we now possess, we will never stand the risk of losing. Not here on earth. In heaven, absolute and complete security. Next question. Why? Why do we believe in life everlasting? We believe in life everlasting because God has revealed it. If there is one term, especially in the Gospel of St. John, that keeps recurring over and over again, it is the word life. Christ says not only that he has life, but that he is life, and that he came to give us this life. And this life is never to end. How we need to hear this as we come to the close of the retreat. It is now in Matthew's Gospel, 25th chapter. Remember, on the last day, and for that matter, the last day of our earthly existence, And once again, the whole world shall be judged on our practice of charity. Our destiny depends on our generosity. Close the book. That, in one sentence, is Christianity. And all this selfless charity is tested here on earth. Very well. But, and this is now St. Matthew, quoting our Lord, predicting what he will tell those on his left and those on his right on the last day. Those on his left, depart from me. And those on his right, come, possess the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And one last summation by our Lord. And those, speaking of those who are lost, will go into everlasting punishment. And these, those who were saved, into everlasting life. And I tell people, there are some Greek words that every self-respecting Catholic should know. Know the pronunciation, know the spelling. Hear the word Ionios. A-I-O-N-I-O-S. Ionios. Which means everlasting. And Matthew's Gospel, inspired by the Holy Spirit, written in Greek, the Holy Spirit used the same word for everlasting punishment and for everlasting life. Why then do we believe in life everlasting? Because God became man to reveal it. Secondly, why do we believe in life everlasting? Because that's why we exist. God did not make us for temporary life. He did not make us for life that will end. He made us for life that will never end. And this all of us may never meet again until eternity. The mathematical odds of all of us being together in one chapel again before eternity, mathematically, the odds are small. To make sure this is what life in this world is all about, it is that you might, when our body dies, that we might then live on and on, but dear God, in everlasting happiness. Why do we believe in life everlasting? Because otherwise, hear it, life on earth would be meaningless. And the service of God would be a sham. Life on earth, with all the conditions that God has placed on our behavior. Talk about the justice of God. Would be sheer cruelty on his part. Once we believe in God, and believe that this God, to say the least, is a just God, then, if our efforts, our sufferings, our sacrifices are not for life everlasting, then we've been deceived, and deceived by the God who we believe made us. And God cannot deceive. Why do we believe in life everlasting? Because, as we know from experience here on earth, we are now, hear it, only as happy as we are doing the will of God. That is the irreversible law of our existence. We know from experience that we can be happy, but how we got to keep telling us that the happiness we believe in is not the happiness that the world offers. In one sentence, the world offers, quote, happiness to people for doing their own will. That's why we now have United Nations figures, some 65 million abortions throughout the world every year. How we've got to constantly keep our eyes of faith open, not to be seduced by the deceit in the world that surrounds us. Finally, how are we to live with our faith in this life everlasting? How? By acting on the faith that we profess. Meaning what? Not expecting the impossible here on earth. What are we saying? We are saying that this life everlasting in which we believe is the ground of our hope, and that the deepest satisfaction that we have here on earth is the absolute certainty that our hopes will be realized. In other words, we believe on faith that in this world we are still living in the valley of tears. We further believe that God has a rich reward in store for us. And hope I'll be clear. The happiness that God expects us to enjoy is not only the life everlasting in heaven for which we are destined, but already here on earth, the deepest joy we should have is the absolute certitude that provided we are doing God's will, we will reach heaven. Over the years, in writing for publication, 2-3 o'clock in the morning, pounding a typewriter, But the assured hope that what I had written and slaved over will be read, and with God's grace will benefit others, gives joy in anticipation. Hope I'm clear. Read the Beatitudes. Reread them. Christ tells us, for example, first Beatitude, blessed, meaning made happy by me. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What's Christ saying? He is telling us to be happy because we're absolutely sure we shall reach heaven provided we do our part in conforming our sovereign wills to the will of God. How are we to live out our faith in life everlasting? By acting on the love of God that He gave us. The infused virtue of charity that we receive the moment we were baptized enables us to love God in a way that no creature, no human being could possibly love God except for God giving him the power, in theological language, the enablement to love God in a way that only God can give us the ability to love Him. So, how do we then live out our faith in this life everlasting? By here on earth, telling God we love Him. I am an adult speaking to adults. Yet Christ tells us how the condition for reaching heaven is to become like little children. Like little children, cultivate the habit of telling God you love Him. Whatever word you use, and especially, oh, my dear sisters in Christ, especially when loving God is costly. Especially when it hurts. We don't love God with our feelings. We don't love God with our emotions. We love God with our wills. How do we put our faith in life everlasting into practice? Well, by showing that we love God, by loving whom? You know whom. Those whom God put into your lives for this purpose, that by loving them, you might show that you love Him. Believing in the Holy Trinity is easy compared with living Christian charity. We don't comprehend the Trinity. Might just as well believe. But to practice selfless charity towards others. No more speculation here. And the price, as you know and I know, the price that other people can exact from our hearts in loving them can be heroic. I've been a priest too many years. I lived with too many people not to know that in God's providence, our heroic love of others may be the price that God demands for those whom we love, returning to God, being converted from a life of sin, so that because of our heroic, patient, suffering charity, they might join us when we, please God, reach our heavenly home. Finally, how do we put into practice our faith in life everlasting? We began here, and I'd like to end here, by seeing God. Oh, how cheap those words can be. By seeing God in every event, every circumstance of our lives. Lord Jesus, you reveal to us that having brought us into this world, you are to remain alive for all eternity. But we also believe that our happiness in the world to come depends on our selflessness in the world in which we live. Dear Jesus, pry our fingers loose from holding on to our own hearts, so that, letting go of ourselves, we might embrace you. And then, through all eternity, be embraced by you in that everlasting life for which we were made. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.